Hello, and welcome to NARC, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Collaborators, home of NARC Troopers. You can visit me there on my website at narctroopers.com, where you'll find a whole lot of things to help you with your recovery from narcissistic abuse and betrayal trauma. Today's topic is a juicy one, the ethical slut is a whore. Quite a scandalous title, but really what it's about is the cultural conspiracy to rape and murder, morality and ethics, which once upon a time, I think a lot more people had that, and today it seems less and less. So let's take a look at that. What exactly is a conspiracy? A conspiracy is an outlandish and bold attempt to hold something up and point to it and say, this is real and true, when there is nothing real or true about it. In regard to the idea of ethical non-monogamy, and that is a big thing these days, ethical non-monogamy, this agenda manufactures lies, fabrications, twisted, convoluted, stretched out, fragmented half-truths and confabulations that have been bastardized to create a profligate society rife with perversion, debauchery, hedonism, and depravity. People who support this ethical non-monogamy lifestyle have a self-serving purpose and are typical examples of magical thinking combined with bad intentions and propaganda. But we have, as a culture, we've just swallowed it, you know, hook, line, and sinker. We've bought into this new way of thinking that everything is temporary, and it's all about immediate gratification, and it's all about serving our best selves. And if that includes, you know, dumping people, relationships, ditching commitments and dodging obligations and watering down your moral compass and your ethical integrity and all of that, then so be it. It's the price that must be paid so that you can lead your best life, right? I find that utterly revolting. It's repulsive. It's repugnant. It's a lot of R words. Have y'all noticed? I like my alliteration, my repetition of consonant sounds. Okay, I'm an English teacher. Please forgive me. Can't help myself. Yeah, so what was I saying? All right, here we go. Pick up that thread. We are a self-serving society. That's what I think. That's more alliteration for you. Okay. We are a self-serving society. That's the idea I want to talk about, because of our capitalistic competition, our greed, gluttony, indulgence, and vice. The message broadcasted all around us tells everyone to discard anyone who does not serve us. And if we are bored or unhappy, it's okay to just bail on your mate and go on the hunt for a replacement that is all fresh and fun. It is our right, our freedom, our choice. It's all about what makes you feel good and warm and fuzzy and immediate gratification reinforced by the World Wide Web with billions of naughty temptations just one little click away. You know, there was a time when people had to work at being cheaters. They had to be sneaky and do all this stuff to try to find someone who wanted to do something scandalous or skanky or whatever. And these days, that's not true. You can go online, find somebody in 5 minutes and be at their front door in 10. They've even got it by zip code and neighborhood. Who's near you right now who wants a quick hookup? No strings attached, casual fun, it's recreation. It's just a good workout, release some endorphins, feel good, go home, eat a bag of Cheetos, smoke a bowl, go to bed. Life is good, right? Isn't that kind of like what is broadcasted and what a lot of people sort of think? Studies have shown that young people just aren't committing to monogamous relationships. They're not getting married, they're not having kids, they're not doing that in the numbers that we have seen in the past. For the first time in history, people are so wrapped up in themselves that they're not even pairing off for procreation or anything like that. They're just so self-sufficient. They don't need anybody. They just need their virtual reality, their video games and their TikTok and porn. Porn is a great substitute for relationships and stuff, or so we are told. Of course, that's not true. Porn is not, well, we won't go into what it is not. It is not good for you. It gives you brain damage. It's vulgar, nasty. It's not what sex is supposed to be. And it is very harmful to everyone involved, to everyone involved. So don't try to trick yourself and say, oh, it's harmless fun. No, it's not. You're just being rationalizing and being delusional if you are just saying, well, it's just fun, it's our choice. Yeah, well, what if my choice is I want to murder somebody? Is that just my choice? That sounds like fun to me. So, you have to draw the line somewhere. You can't use that as an excuse. It's my freedom, it's my choice. Well, some things, sorry, bud, it's not your freedom and it's not your choice. The world is in such a shitty place right now, and most likely, I think it's headed for some intangible extinction level event. People are increasingly they show this sort of unraveling in their driving, in other behaviors, like not just on the road, but self-destructive things that people are doing, short tempers, tacky treatment of other people, short fuses. We're all faced, we're all living on borrowed time, and we're faced with the grim fate of moving forward. Why not have a little fun is what some people say. We're all gonna perish pretty soon. And so I think that, that Dave Matthews song comes to mind, When the World Ends, which tells of spending the last hours that the world is here, under the sheets with the one that you love. And I always imagined that that would be my husband, who was comforted, that if we were all going to die, at least it would be in his arms. He was comforted by that idea that I felt that way about him, and I was comforted by the idea that I did feel that way about him, and it was silly. Silly notion, silly me. None of that was really what was going on there at all. These days, people don't think like that, like the Dave Matthews song, that they want to die in one person's arms, holding that one hand that they know and they love and that they have achieved such trust and intimacy with. No, that's not how they see it. People. They don't believe in forever. They believe in right now. That's the gospel that they preach. Right now. Right now. That is, a conditional agreement that is contingent on undetermined variables that could render it null and void at any moment. It's not even a real contract. It's just an agreement to have no agreement. That's what relationships are today. Agreements to have no agreements. Agreements that we're both going to do whatever our selfish little selves and lustful little selves tell us that we feel like doing. And then we're going to come back to each other and do it with each other. And then go back out there and do what we want to do with others. What is that? That is, well, it's messed up. That's what I think that is. It is definitely co contingent on things that are sort of beyond your control. It's no longer till death do you part. Now it's just until I meet someone I like better. They want more than one close relationship, as if it means better. The more I have, the better. There are no strangers. We're all in this together. We can all just love each other and have sex with each other and share things with each other and have good times with each other. And it's okay. That's all good. The more, the merrier. Really? I would prefer only one intimate, trusting, loving union over 10 great shags with a variety of spicy, fresh bedmates. There is something so messy and smelly and stinky and downright gross about allowing someone outside of your marriage to crawl into bed with you. Decent people would be repulsed by the idea. When I was married, I occasionally saw a gorgeous man, and I made a note and or maybe a comment, but I had no desire, none. No desire to actually approach this man and invite him over, much less invite him to into our bed. That's disgusting. I was never attracted to anyone in a way that would detract from my husband. Why would I need to do that? My love for him was complete, timeless, organic, and forever. He was enough because I loved him. And I didn't need anything else. If you love someone, you don't need anything else. What do you need? Why do you need more? What a greedy Grinch kind of attitude that is. I gave all of myself, with complete abandon to him and only him. It felt right and safe and real. Adding another person into the equation would be disgusting, awkward, and intrinsically wrong. Fundamentally wrong. It would say, here's what it would say. It would say, you are not enough. I need other relationships in addition to this one to be happy. What that really says is, I'm a selfish, entitled douchebag who feels as if I have the right to do whatever I want, to have whomever I want, and I deserve it without guilt. And if you loved me, you would let me stick my you know what wherever I want to. You don't own me. I want to go play, and I need you to be okay with that. Isn't that the message? Isn't that what you're really saying? That you can just fish out of any pond, you can dip your stick into any hole, and that's okay. And that you need to do that in addition to having the relationship that you have. What kind of lame, selfish, narcissistic bullshit is that? I mean, since when did sex become merely a transactional commodity designed to be traded for self-aggrandizing, low and base desires, or simply for recreation? Our culture has adopted an anything goes philosophy in order to be like politically correct. We worry about that so much, being politically correct. Gotta be, say, don't say that. You can't say that. You can't think that. Oh, somebody said something, red flag, that I'm feeling violated. We really just get the freak over it. I think being so politically correct sometimes is just a cover for some real serious issues that aren't so nice underneath it all. People that are truly to their core have no prejudices and no biases and none of that stuff. I don't think that they need to be tiptoeing all the time. I'm just, it creates new problems to be so freaking politically correct all the time. And this is one of those times when, I think that that's true about that. So, we don't want to step on any toes, by puritanical traditional ethics, like that. We don't need that regarding relationships because that might offend somebody. Well, I'm going to offend somebody. Call me a narcissist, but people need fidelity to one person and one person only. And if you're not with me and you don't get that, then I guess I'm going to be politically correct in regard to you right now because, yeah, I have a problem with you. Because it's not just your choice. You involve other people who are connected to other people who get hurt, who get their lives destroyed, who break up families that have children who need that both parents. All actions have consequences. You can't just waltz through life and drop your drawers for anyone and everyone that you take a fancy to. There's consequences and it's complicated, and lives are ruined because of that attitude, this terrible attitude that I can do what I want, I can have what I want, I can sleep with as many people as I want. All of this crap about how love can't be rationed and a heart has enough to share with multiple people without being diminished. And that it's simply a, you know what it is? It's a sickening excuse to justify being nasty. My ex told me something shortly after he abandoned our marriage. He had begun to spout off platitudes. He was mirroring his replacement by saying little things, probably that she taught him, like, there are no strangers. We are free to do whatever we want. There is no right or wrong and no rules. I thought he must have been hijacked, because those aren't his ideas, but they are now. And it comes from his recently acquired person that he's with now. I felt like it was something that some sexually active college freshman might say. Those kind of words, like there's no strangers. I have enough love in my heart to share with multiple people. And it didn't seem like something that should be coming from a middle-aged person with life experience and 16 years of marriage under his belt. And so I think you say those kinds of things, and you're so determined to go out into the world and do whatever you want without contracting an STD or something. But there's consequences. And what do you think is going to happen? A lot of these people that are highly promiscuous don't use protection. And there's more sexually transmitted diseases right now than just about any time ever. HIV, I remember, I'm old, so I remember life before HIV and that whole sexual liberation period in history. And people really did let their freak flags fly. And then AIDS came. And then people started getting other nasty things, herpes and chlamydia and hepatitis. That's a game changer. You get so sick at, it's chronic and serious and kills you. And so sex can be deadly, can be lethal. But I think the new Bible for promiscuous people in open relationships that welcome others into their bed. Well, there's a new book called The Ethical Slut, A Practical Guide to Polyamory, Open Relationships, and Other Adventures. Yeah, I don't think I would get along with the person who wrote that book. It's a validation for alternative lifestyles that abandon things like fidelity, morality, and monogamy, and send the message that it's okay to do anything you want as long as you're honest about it and it's consensual permission and approval to do whatever you want with whomever you want, wherever you want is just, with as many people as you want. This is a somatic narcissist dream come true. Unlimited attention, adoration, affection. Sex is power. Sex is control to the narcissist. And so this is just like, wow, this new culture is a narcissist endless buffet, you know? It's growing more new narcissists, I think. Because there's such unlimited fresh fuel and fresh, body parts to feast on. Win-win, right? No, wrong. It's wrong because these people have no conscience, no remorse, no responsibility for who they hurt. When they hurt people, they blame the victim. They blame the person they hurt, twist things around. They don't take responsibility for it. I'm just trying to be me. I'm just living my life. Oh, get over it. Grow up. If you're trying to live your life and just be you, be a better version of you. How about that? Proponents of polyamory tout the tired platitude that humans are not monogamous, that we are animals in the animal kingdom that must mate indiscriminately by nature, and that one partner is not enough. Well, tell that to wolves, penguins, lobsters, octopuses, gray foxes, beavers, monkeys, mice, coyotes. There's a lot of animals who seem to have more longevity in their relationships than a lot of humans do these days. They are monogamous. When their partner dies, they don't partner up with a new one. They don't ditch their partner and run off with a harem. They don't need new, fresh, exciting mates when their mate that they've had litters with or whatever are no longer exciting to them or something like that. They don't bail. They stay with their partner for life. And so that argument is false. It sounds like something that was developed by some swinger or ethical non-monogamist. And because an ethical non-monogamist is the same thing as a swinger. Every generation has had that. At least in my lifetime, every relationship that is defined by the decade that it is in always has that component. There's always that faction of people who want to go out and just be nasty and be lustful, lecherous, vulgar people who just can't keep their business in their pants. And that's men and women. Women wear pants, right? Hot pants, short shorts, Daisy Dukes. They can't keep their business in their Daisy Dukes. Okay, so there's actually quite a few animals that are monogamous and for life. And when so, why don't we aspire to do that and use that as an example? But people, they seem to comprehend something that, these animals seem to understand something that people don't. There are great numbers of people who are just horny, needy, self-absorbed people that think the world revolves around their genitals and what they want. And they have this narcissistic hunger for fuel and attention and admiration and praise from from these various partners that maybe one person just they can't get enough from the one, so they have to go to the many. And where is the person with narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, or your average run-of-the-mill psychopath in all of this miasma of indulgence and copulation? Well, I'll tell you. They are knee-deep in the hoopla. Knee-deep in the hoopla. Balls-deep in the orgy. I remember when there was such a thing as a happy monogamous marriage. Yeah, I remember that. They did not need any outside entertainment or stimulation. They were enough for each other in every way. They were happy, satiated, at peace, and they had no desire to look outside their relationship for something different. They had everything that they needed. and an abundant life filled with trust, intimacy, fun, spicy sex, date night, and the benefits that come from lifelong partnerships. Some of you naysayers who are ethically non-monogamous or polyamorous, and you have whatever weird thing you have going on, you're thinking that's not true. They were miserable and they were trapped in these marriages where they were repressed and depressed and all of this. They had probably had anxiety and they were so miserable being stuck with that same person that they just didn't like them anymore and didn't want them. They just didn't want them anymore. So why would they need to stay with that? And so, that is a bunch of hogwash, baloney, malarkey, whatever you want to call it, because that's just not true. I know numerous couples, I can think of three different couples right now who did not, they weren't bored. They did not have temptation to go be philanderers. They were loyal, really. They really didn't need anything else. They didn't want anything else because they got everything that they wanted from their partner. They had no reason to go look outside that relationship. I know three examples of people, I guarantee you. They are those textbook happy couples that have been married for 40 years. Yeah, they exist. Just because you don't know them, you don't know anybody like that, doesn't mean that it's not possible or that it doesn't exist. It just means you've got some really bad role models in your life. I think that that's what that means. And it's harder and harder to find good role models these days. So how do you learn? I guess you don't. And that's why people are running around frantically copulating with whatever they can find and using drugs to do it, like taking MDMA or shrooms or whatever, and then having sex with multiple people. That's the way to go. That's way more fun than sitting home with the missus watching Netflix, right? So why not? Yeah, why not? Why not just indulge, My grandparents were happy and I've for their whole life, sweethearts since high school, married young. I think my grandmother was like 15, my grandfather was like 19. I think that's illegal now, 19 and 15. Isn't that statutory rape or something? But no, they got married at those ages and they were married their whole lives and in love with each other. Right up until one of them, the first one, departed. And I'm pretty sure that in the next life, in some way, they are reunited in some capacity, which I cannot even imagine. And actually, anybody who says they know how it's going to be after you die, they don't know. What do you think? They don't know. The brain does all kinds of tricky stuff when the body is shutting down. Hallucinations, all kinds of crazy stuff. You don't know what it's going to be like. So who are you to poo-poo the idea of eternal love? Isn't that possible? And boy, are you going to be in a bad shape when you die and you find out that the afterlife, you're not going to, it's not an orgy. What if the afterlife is not an orgy, guys, and you can't take that harem with you? You can't have the interchangeable parts and the revolving door on relationships. And let me just add, not every narcissist and not every vulgar person who is trying to have numerous partners, not all of them bounce around in quick ways. Some of them kind of dig in and stay with the same partner for 10 or 20 years. I meet women who and men, women and men in narcissistic abuse recovery groups that have been married 30 years, and the narcissist was doing all their narcissist business on the side with their side pieces and all of that, but they stayed with their primary source of fuel for a number of reasons. Maybe they had kids, maybe it was a financial thing, who knows? But they stayed. So all narcissists don't just hop around week by week, month by month. Some of them have some longevity in relationships and do tend to kind of, last a while. So, these proponents of slutty lifestyles, of the vain and empty, that's a play on that show about the lifestyles of the rich and famous, okay? This is the slutty lifestyles of the vain and empty. They pretend that these happy people don't exist, that they're an aberration, an anomaly. But they aren't. They're all around us, cozy in their homes, canoodling over dinner, enjoying intimacy that sluts are never going to know. Some say that since we live longer, we can't be expected to stay with the same person for 50 or 60 years. We may live to be 80, 90, pushing 100. They say that it's unreasonable and illogical to think that the way people change into different iterations of themselves, that they're going to be able to stay together. You're going to have to ditch your partner every decade or so because you're going to be different and you need somebody that's going to be a good match for you. That's their argument. Now, to me, that kind of sounds like the argument of a spoiled child who doesn't want to eat their daily veggies. Just grow the F up already. Life is not about constantly chasing and fulfilling your every whim. Qualities like fortitude, integrity, longevity, sacrifice, and unconditional love, not to mention service, patience, steadfastness, all of those things, they're so important. But people today who are practicing these alternative lifestyles, they don't have those things. They don't have integrity. You don't even know what it is. Don't kid yourself. These things like integrity, character, morality, ethics, intimacy, all of that, it's what makes you a decent human. You have the gift of years to reinvent your lives together. You don't ditch the person because you change. You change with them. You lean in and you go together. You make sacrifices, sure, but you also compromise, and your partner makes sacrifices and compromises. And at the end of the day, because you weathered those changes and you bent and leaned in together on the turn, and you got through it and you were still there after that. Wow, those relationships are bulletproof, and the power of them is something that you guys that are just in it to win it for the day, hit it and quit it and gone. You have no idea what I'm talking about. The power that these long-lasting relationships, where they do change, they maybe live to be 90 years old and they are still together. Because they learned how to do it as a team, how to make the changes together. Nobody left behind, nobody kicked to the curb, nobody dismissed. Next, none of that. Decency is important. You can reinvent yourself many times in your life. You can reshape the common vision that you have with your partner. You can grow deeper roots. Here's something. Let me tell you, it's not a limitation, it's an opportunity. It's not a limitation, it's an opportunity. So, what about when the narcissist is a whore? Not every narcissist is a somatic, sex addicted whore, but it is a category that describes a large number of people who have narcissistic personality disorder. It's like a sub-pop population, like a group. And so, what do I mean when I say, like, what is a whore and that they are whoring around? Well, biblically, that it's a whore is associated with the beast of Revelation by connection with an equally evil kingdom. It says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. All right, I kind of like that biblical description. Literally, a whore is a promiscuous or immoral woman or man. It could be a man whore who engages in sexual acts for the benefit, for their own personal benefit, sometimes for money, sometimes not, always for something that is going to benefit them in some way. It's unscrupulous person without morals is a whore. Yep. And then the colloquial definition of a whore is a person without ethics or morals that will sacrifice their virtue for some kind of gain. For example, she was whoring herself around to get the promotion. It doesn't imply actual fornication, but a moral price that is paid to achieve an objective. So when the narcissist or psychopath is a whore, they are acquiring not only sex from their prey, which is the ultimate source of fuel and supply for the thirsty deviant, but they also take personality traits, residual benefits like money, connections, excitement, you know, they're easily bored, and power. There are opportunities who are greedy, lusty children who want all the cookies in the cookie jar all the time, and for the newly acquired victims who will open their wallets, their heart, their home, their resources, and their legs. Yeah, they open their legs. They are so gobsmacked by the narcissist's weapons of mass seduction that by the time they begin to notice something unsavory happening, it's too late. They're addicted and trauma bonded, and they can't get away. They can't. What is ethical? That's what you may be thinking. Is that what you're thinking? Maybe not. Okay. But what is ethical? And why is there no such thing as an ethical whore? An ethical whore. So morality protects life and is respectful of others, all others. And if morals are not taught, our children will make decisions based on their immediate needs, desires, and emotions, not on sound judgment. Ethics are the principles that guide us to make a positive impact through our decisions and actions. Ethics play an important role not only in our personal lives, but also in the life and of others. Ethics guide us to tell the truth, to keep our promises, and to help people in need. Don't victimize and exploit anyone. People with NPD and similar disorders have neither morals nor ethics. They just don't. They are devoid of empathy and other people's suffering. A whore also has no real concept of morals or ethics, and subsequently allows other things to guide their actions. Neither a narcissist nor a whore will sacrifice their own pleasure for someone else's benefit. It's easier to pretend that you're a good person. Convince yourself of your own self-delusions that you're telling yourself, and ignore anything that might feel like shame or conscience or guilt. And just, you know, plow full speed ahead in search of what is the best high, the best orgasm, the best people to serve it all up on a platter, a great big poo-poo platter. So let me tell you this. There's going to be a reckoning, a day when everybody will be held accountable. And this current state of affairs that we have, this solipsistic quagmire, solipsistic, you should look that up. It's a really great concept. this solipsistic quagmire is unsustainable. It cannot continue forever. The challenges that face the world at this precipice in history will invariably destroy all of those self-absorbed, they're like the ones that are so self-absorbed, hedonist, that's what they are, hedonist with their gluttony and greed, their lust and their depravity, their self-serving quest to satisfy their limitless desire for pleasure and gratification. While they are having chemsex parties, the world is burning, right? They take a little MDMA, little cactus, San Jose cactus, a little psilocybin or mushrooms or something, and then get naked and let the fun begin. Oh my gosh, what's happening all around you? Do you not watch the news? These people, it's like the whole world is in their pants or in their Daisy Dukes. And they just don't care what is happening. It's all about their pleasure, their self-serving quest to satisfy their limitless, bottomless desire for gratification. So they've got these chemsex parties. And yeah, that's very common in people who practice these non-ethical monogamy. I said non-ethical monogamy. That's not right. Ethical non-monogamy. That was a Freudian slip, guys. I really do think it's non-ethical. So that just sort of came out wrong. Yep. But, you know, they're self-absorbed hedonist. And their gluttony and greed and lust and depravity and all this kind of stuff. It's just, you know, okay, so let me say it this way. While the polyamorous are planning their next P&P party, which is party and play, which is sex and drugs and other stuff, while they're planning that and looking forward to that adventure, people are dying. And while some shout their lifestyle manifesto that demands respect for choosing to be a whore, life as we know it is slipping away. It's slipping away into this like dystopian landscape of fires and floods and earthquakes and war and pestilence and disease and death and injustice and abuse and countless other problems that are just we're all around us. We're drowning in them, but they're too busy with their fun to even notice. We're all going to pay the price of apathy and ignorance, of arrogance and selfishness. The somatic narcissist is a whore, and those who participate and embrace a life without ethics or morals are lost to the flesh, to false gods, to destruction. The truth may sting a bit, but you can't be a decent person if you are unwilling to take responsibility for unethical and immoral choices. You can't rewrite the book on virtue to reflect your own disposable consumerist attitude. It's a disposable consumerist, like use it up, and then when it's depleted, toss it in the trash can and get a new one. It'll be shinier. It'll be better. Yum, yum. That's the kind of attitude that we have towards love, commitment, all of those important things. That's what's replaced it? If you walk like a slut, talk like a slut, sleep around like a slut, and rationalize it like a slut, then you must be, yeah, you guessed it, a slut. So I know many of you are thinking, wow, what a just judgmental twit. I'm sure you can fill in that blank with other words that are more strong and prolific. You know, of what I am, because I'm a moralist. And yeah, I think people like this are ruining our world. I think we are going to devolve into something pretty horrible. And all these people that think we are in transition to the fifth dimension, to a new higher vibrational entity, level or something, plane of existence. They don't know the people I know who are slutty whores people who, are they coming with us to the fifth dimension, to this higher vibration? They think they have a higher vibration because they have sex with a bunch of people. That means they're making each other feel good and giving each other orgasms. So they must be angels. They must be worthy of something awesome, of being prophets and masters of the universe or whatever. They're special because they are not restricted and confined by status quo ideals of love and marriage. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think they're going to make the cut, but that's me. Am I judgmental? Not really. I do what you're going to do. But for me, for the people I care about, for the people in my inner circle, they aren't like this. They understand forever. And they understand what it means to make a promise to somebody, to be with them through thick and thin, through sickness and health, through no matter what happens. I got your back. There's something so amazing about that, that these people who are trading places, swapping partners, they don't get it. They don't. You can't have that and have the other too. You can't have the best of both worlds. You give up all of that stuff that you get from a forever love. You give that up when you get all trampy and everything. So, anyway, go ahead and think I'm judgmental. Just wait, because last thing I want to say is if you don't want me judging you, and if you think God isn't going to judge you because you don't believe in God, I'll tell you one thing: history is going to judge you. Because you, my ethically non-monogamous friend who likes to whore around, and you, my polyamorous person who likes to have multiple relationships with multiple people all at the same time, all sleeping in the same bed, what happens next in the world? History will not remember this kind of lack of morality that we're experiencing. It's not going to be remembered well because it's contributing to the downfall of civilization as we know it. Yeah, where you put your business and who you stick it in is going to be a contributing factor when it comes to the downfall, the unraveling of a society. And we are headed that direction, guys. We are headed that direction full force without brakes, and there's a cliff ahead of us. The bridge is out. It is uncertain what will come, but it is certain darkness and bad stuff. And who's driving that car that's hurtling towards this terrible fate? Well, it's filled with people who are just having a good time. They're just being their best selves. They're just living their best lives. And they're just, drugged up, sexed up, and just doing their thing, without any boundaries, without limitation. And they are going to drag us down because a world without morals and ethics, a world that does not understand the importance of permanence, of committing to one thing and sticking with it and standing by it no matter what. The importance of that, crawling over glass through the pits of hell to be there, to support that person, to be by their side because you said you would. Through sickness and health till death do you part. Yeah, that's real. That is real. And that's what we really need. And because we are increasingly losing that, I think, at some point here ahead of us, We're not going to get to that fifth dimension vibrational level. We're not going to get to the happy place where God is going to think, yeah, this is what I wanted for all of humanity, just to have one big orgy. I don't think so. I don't think so. So let's spend a little time thinking about that. You may not agree with everything that I just said, but I know that you're going to find truth in some of it, because a lot of it is indisputable fact, and I have sprinkled my own personal interpretation of those facts into an inevitable outcome. We must get ourselves together, commit to one thing, one purpose, one mission, one task, and then come hell or high water, we make that happen. We stay with that until the end. And that's how we survive, and that's how we get things done. Headed the wrong direction, guys. Okay, that's it for today. I just got back from a little trip to visit family, and I'm, a little bit out of it. I woke up the other day, thought that I was so tired, I couldn't remember where I was or what was going on. And I thought, did I have a stroke? Am I getting dementia? What is happening here? And it was fatigue, and it was different time. Central zone, Pacific zone, East Coast, all of that. But I'm getting back, and I'm here for you. We're taking this trip together. I want you to be better, but I also want you to be compassionate and empathetic towards others. I also want you to not hurt other people. Try not to hurt them, and don't make promises you can't keep, guys. All right, that's it for me. Checking out, over and out. Sorry we went long. I had a lot to say about this one. All right, love you all. Bye.